Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World. I am Steve Dale, and excited about what we'll be talking about in just a moment. It is called Pucks and Paws. It's about hockey. You'll hear more about what that is about in a moment. A great announcement that I'm thrilled to make. I edited and contributed to a book called Decoding Your Dog a couple of years ago, and this book was so successful. So I have an announcement to make about what's coming next. You might be able to guess. And also new research out about music and cats and dogs and elephants. So for all of you who have a pet elephant, and I will also get to your questions, your behavior questions. Sure, email me, steve@stevedale.tv. On the phone now is Mike Peck. Mike is the business operations manager at the Rockford Ice Hogs hockey team. Hey, Mike, how are you? Mike?
You got me?
I do now. Yeah, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks for having me on this morning. I appreciate it.
Well, it's great to talk to you. First of all, for those who don't know, what are the Rockford Ice Hogs, and who are the Rockford Ice Hogs?
Yeah, great question. So the Ice Hogs, we play in the American Hockey League, and we are the direct affiliate to the Chicago Blackhawks. So when you watch the Blackhawks, there are a ton of players that go up and down between Rockford and Chicago. So we're the AHL affiliate of the Blackhawks.
And that's it's a minor league hockey team, right? Is that put simply? And
yep.
Then some of the players jump from Rockford to Chicago. What are some names over the years that we might recognize?
Yeah, well, right now, like Corey Crawford spent 3 years here in Rockford. Andrew Shaw was here for a couple of the seasons. Some other guys from years past include Brian Bickle, Nicholas Jalmerson, Teuvo Teravainen, Troy Brower, Dustin Bufflin was here, you know, very briefly. So there's been, I believe, a total of about 90, 95 different players that have played in Rockford and have also played in Chicago with the Blackhawks.
Wow. That's incredible. And, you know, I was so excited to go to a Rockford game. First of all, it is, as I suspect most minor league hockey is, and I've been to many college hockey games back in the day. In fact, I was once the announcer for a pawful of games for the University of Illinois at Chicago hockey team. I won't tell you how many years ago that was. But
it's fun. That's a great gig, by the way. That was kind of my background for about 13 years. I did play-by-play here in Rockford for the Ice Hogs, and the play-by-play is a whole lot of fun.
It's a horrible gig because I had to, first of all, I'm no Doc Emmerich, and secondly, I had to, there was one game where they had, and it was a great game, they had the best college team from Sweden come in. The problem was...
Boy.
Yeah, I had to pronounce all those names. Sven Josefish. That's about how it sounded. So I really wasn't very good at that job, but I love hockey. And if you love hockey, you love hockey, whether it's college hockey, minor league hockey, or professional hockey. But in a way, this is kind of more fun because it's raw. You're right there, and the setting is really intimate in Rockford.
No, you're exactly right on there, Steve, and that's the beauty of the minor leagues. We can have a little bit more fun. You know, things are a little bit looser when you watch minor league sports, and that's exactly what we do. We have a great time. The BMO Harris Bank Center here is a very intimate arena. It's about 6,000 seats, and you're right on top of the action. So we do a whole lot of fun with the different promotions, and again, you can see these players up close and before they hit the big time with the Blackhawks.
Now, people may be wondering, why is this guy on the pet show? We'll get to that in one moment, but I do want to concede that the management of the team, the Ice Hogs, I'm in really big trouble with you guys because of what I said to your mascot. Is that true?
Yeah. Our mascot, Hammy, of course, Hammy
yes.
The Hog, Hamilton yep. E. Hog is his full name, is a little miffed with you. I'm not going to lie.
And that's because, I'll let you tell it, or I can, it's because of what I dared to say.
Yeah, well, Steve, you asked him if he was kosher, And I know you didn't get a direct answer, but I think the actions definitely spoke louder than words, since, of course, everybody knows mascots don't speak.
Yes. Well, this one had a few words to say to me, but we won't talk about that. Here's what I want to talk about. And I'm so excited about this. I didn't know you guys do this until recently. It's a promotion called Pucks and Paws. And for those who listen to this radio station, you know that years and years ago, I went to the Chicago White Sox and I said, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea if you guys had some dogs at the ballpark. And they said, what, at the where? And you know, the White Sox at that time, they were still playing at Comiskey. It was maybe their next to last year at Comiskey, or maybe they had two more years to go at I don't know. It was toward the end of their run there. And the team wasn't doing great at that point, and they were looking for promotion ideas, and they were and are very promotion-oriented. So I said, really, I'm serious. Bring dogs. You will get people going to the ballpark, and just put a certain section for them, maybe in the bleachers, whatever you want, and invite vendors. They pay to be there because they're promoting a product that's good for you. It's good for them. And they said, really? People will come? Of course, they did come. And now ballparks do it all over the country, not only at the major league level, but certainly at the minor league level. There are a couple of dog day promotions for most minor league baseball teams every year. Hockey teams periodically do it. And you're one of those hockey teams that does this. I doubt you knew the background to all that. So why did you guys decide, okay, we're going to invite dogs to watch a hockey game?
Well, it's pretty incredible how your idea, you know, just, hey, how about this, has really grown into something that has really taken over the industry, at least through, obviously, professional baseball and professional hockey. We came up, we didn't come up with the idea. We decided to use this concept probably about 5-6 years ago, and we had one dedicated night, which is the Pucks and Paws night, and we use it as a fundraiser for the local animal shelters. And we do a ton of different fun things throughout the course of the night, whether it's having the animal shelters come out to the arena here and they bring a dog that is up for adoption. We do sometimes different giveaways. For example, this year we're giving away some dog collars. Last year we did dog leashes. We do a wiener dog race at the intermission, which has been picked up all over the place, which has been extremely cool. So that's definitely one of the big highlights. And of course, the big thing is we encourage fans to bring their dogs to the game for Pucks and Paws, and you know, using the same mindset that you had, Steve, back in the late 80s there with the White Sox. And it was, hey, you know what, this would be pretty fun to bring, you know, your furry friend to the sporting event. And you know, our fans have done a great job of gauging, you know, okay, my dog would be able to sit through a game and would be able to handle the loud noises and other dogs and whatnot. And it's really fun to see all the different dogs walking the concourse on our Pucks and Paws night. So this year it's Sunday, March the 29th, and it's such a fun night because there's such a different feel in the building when you have the pets. And you know, I've been to some different minor league baseball games when they've done it as well. So your idea has gone viral, right? You went viral before viral was even cool.
Yeah, really. I love that. So how do people get tickets for this event? Can they just jump online to do it, or do they need their dog to do that? How does it work?
Yeah, you just go to icehogs.com, and you can see all the information there, and you can purchase tickets through icehogs.com, and all the info on the Pucks and Paws is right there. We also do dog days on Wednesdays. We call it our Wednesday dog days, and fans can bring their dogs out as well. It's $2 to get your dog in, and all the proceeds from that go to the animal shelter. So,
and of course,
you know, the point of
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to say, of course, that's what I love about it so much.
And that is exactly what the point I was going to say. That's the point of us doing these games is obviously it's great to bring your dog out. I mean, there's not a lot of opportunity to bring a dog to a hockey game with you. But the big picture is to support the local animal shelters here in the Rockford area and help those folks out there that are, a lot of them, as you know, Steve, are volunteering their time.
Sure.
to take care of these pets and to get them adopted. So that's really big picture for the game. We also do a silent auction. We have a ton of different items that we gather from you know, local sponsors and whatever it might be, that, you know, we raise money as well to donate back to the shelters.
So I may be out there, and you and I are chit-chatting about how we may be able to figure that out. But one thing I can do that I think I'm very qualified to do is judge the wiener dog race.
Oh, man, that would be great. That's a lot of fun. And again, this happens at the first intermission. And we have a dog. Darby's the dog's name. It's not our dog. It's a fan that brings it. And Darby won it the first 3 years we did it and got beat last year.
Uh-oh.
So it's a lot of fun to see these dogs racing across the ice at the intermission.
That does sound like a lot of fun. I love the fact that you're giving back to the local animal shelters more than anything else. But one thing that interested me, you said the vibe is a bit different when there are dogs in the house. How is that so? What do you mean by that?
There's just something different and really cool when you mix pets into things, right? You know, obviously dogs can't go everywhere, but when you have an opportunity to bring pets in, there's just a different vibe. I think everyone's just got a little bit more hop in their step, and they seeing all the different dogs around the concourse, walking around and at the game, and it's a lot of fun. And I can't exactly give you the best description on why or how or what it's like, but it's just really cool to see dogs in the seats. And as play's going on, sometimes you hear the dogs barking in the stands a little bit, and it's almost like you're outside at the park watching a hockey game.
Well, how, once again, can people learn more about it?
Yep, just go to icehogs.com. We'll have a bunch of stuff on our Facebook page as well, and that's where all the information for Pucks and Paws will be for our game on the 29th of March.
And I know the ticket prices range. How much is it for a dog?
Dogs are $2.
All right, that's what you said earlier. So for Pucks and Paws, the dogs are $2, and you get to see a hockey game, of course. And, the games are just so much fun there. I've got to tell a story when we come back after the break of a dog that was at the United Center, a champion dog, the dog that won Westminster several years back, that Rocky Wirtz personally invited to the game. And he said, oh, my gosh, if we're inviting this dog, we've got to invite Steve. And I sat just a couple of seats away from the dog. I will tell you about that when we come back. Mike Peck, thank you so much.
Steve, I really appreciate you having me on, and it's going to be a lot of fun on the 29th of March.
Thank you. I mean, it was so cool. The Chicago Blackhawks contact me and say, because I'm a hockey fan, and say, come to the game. And I said, yeah, I can come, whatever day that was, a couple of years ago. And we've got a seat for you right next to, I think the dog's name, Miss B, maybe? It was a dog, a beagle, that won Westminster. So I get to the game, I sit down, and sure enough, three seats or so to the right of us was this dog, a beagle, sitting in a seat. What's more, as the game began and continued, this dog followed the game. It was so funny. I've got video of this. As the puck goes to the right, certainly the dog's eyes and face move to the right. And then as the puck moves to the left, and the dog's going back and forth watching the game, moving left and right and right and left and right and right. I mean, just watching the game. Clearly, this dog was following the puck. Maybe because the dog wanted to fetch the puck. I don't really know. But the dog was, it was just so fun. And I'll tell you, the Ice Dogs game that I went to in Rockford was a very family-friendly event, and it was a lot of fun. And if you are a hockey fan, listen, if you're not a hockey fan, you might not get it. But if you're a hockey fan, hockey is hockey. And yes, watching the Blackhawks and professional hockey is one thing, but it is so much fun to watch either college hockey or, in this instance, minor league hockey. And some of these players are going to be Chicago Blackhawks or at least be in the National Hockey League. Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. You can, and I hope you do, email your questions to me, steve@stevedale.tv. And I'm looking at one of those questions now. On most shows, I'll pull a couple of questions when I have time to do it. And I wanted to make sure I had time to do this because I don't think I got in any questions last week. So, dear Steve, my 14-year-old Cocker Spaniel has started piddling on my bed. What's with that? Her drinking habits remain the same. She recently had a physical and seemed okay, except it seems like she's gradually going deaf. Do you have any ideas? It's from Ben in Berwyn. Well, Ben, Assuming your veterinarian conducted a thorough exam, I am thinking about the possibility, I'll say it again, possibility of canine cognitive dysfunction syndrome. And that's a long word, or several words, right, to say Alzheimer's in dogs. Some say doggy dementia. I don't know that that's the case, but here's how you can discern whether you should begin thinking about that possibility. And I'm suggesting that because if nothing is medically explaining why the dog is piddling in your bed, and I want to add one more thing. If this is happening when you're home, if it's only happening when you're not home, completely different discussion, because then we talk about separation distress. But here, if it's happening when you're home, and I suggest you set up a video camera, by the way, so you can see what's going on here. So if the dog is jumping on the bed and digging on the bed, then the dog is smelling its favorite person in the world and just getting overexcited. And my answer to that would be keep your dog out of the bedroom. However, if it is happening when you're home, and what I just said is not the case, then I would think about, and this is for anyone with an older dog, these are the signs of canine cognitive dysfunction disorder, or really canine Alzheimer's, and it does exist. First is disorientation. So the dog might be standing on the wrong side of the door or to go outside, or generally at times seeming confused. Altered social interaction. So a dog that, I don't know, is always really friendly to everybody, suddenly is not. Or a dog is mysteriously aggressive for no apparent reason. Or a dog, maybe it's the reverse, that was kind of aloof, is now friendly to everyone. The way in which the dog interacts socially with people is different, just different, not better, not worse, just different than the way historically this dog has acted. Sleep disturbances is the next one. So getting up in the middle of the night, maybe pacing in the middle of the night, barking in the middle of the night. Now, I'm not talking about, I mean, dogs dream, and we know they move in their dreams, right, as they are in REM sleep. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a dog that is abnormally, and in many cases, actually getting up overnight and then going back to bed, but maybe pacing, maybe not even going back to bed. House soiling. I'm talking about house-trained dogs that are now having inexplicable accidents. Altered activity levels. So, listen, there's no question that as our dogs age, their favorite thing to do is sleep. So, yes, I understand that. But I'm talking about a dog that is pretty much doing that to an extreme. Yes, arthritis can play a role in that. Other physical ailments may play a role in that, too. But a dog that seems depressed almost and wants to do nothing but sleep or seems anxious as well. Those would be the signs of canine cognitive dysfunction syndrome. And if you could check off two or more of those, then see your veterinarian. Now, what's going on with your dog specifically? Again, if it's happening only when you're not home, then completely different road. And we're talking about you talking to your veterinarian about separation anxiety. And I would put a camera on the dog to see what's going on when you're not there. If the dog is jumping up on the bed and digging at the bed, you know how dogs dig at things sometimes outside and get really excited and then go to the bathroom? That could be what's going on with your dog. The smell is just so exciting on the bed that the dog's just gotta go. That is a possibility. But if you eliminate those possibilities and your veterinarian has eliminated any bladder or kidney disease-related possibilities or diabetes, really important to eliminate these because they will all make your dog want to urinate more. But if your veterinarian does that, then I would say maybe consider what I just said about cognitive dysfunction syndrome. I am so excited to make an announcement. I love making these announcements on the radio. I've talked briefly about this. So I had a book out a couple of years ago. And it really wasn't my book. It was the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists. Those are the experts in animal behavior, and they're boarded in behavior just like a veterinary cardiologist is boarded in cardiology, or a veterinary nutritionist is boarded in nutrition, or a veterinary neurologist is boarded in neurology. They are absolute experts on animal behavior. And together, I was honored to edit this book, and I wrote the introduction, which was also an honor, for the book called Decoding Your Dog. It came out 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, and sold and has continued to sell appropriately. I'm somewhat biased, but I think it's a great book, and it's selling still like crazy. So the publisher said, finally, after us kind of pushing the publisher, said, finally, okay, when we asked to do a book called Decoding Your Cat. And you ready for this? It's my official announcement sounder. That's what my budget can afford, and that's what you get. So Decoding Your Cat, which is written by members of the American College of Veterinary Behavior, comes out in June. But now, right this moment, if you go on Amazon, you can pre-order the book. And we'll be talking much more about this, but I would argue that the book Decoding Your Cat is even more needed than the book Decoding Your Dog, because there are so many misconceptions about cats, and my hope is we have rectified some of those. But again, you'll be hearing much, much more about that in the upcoming weeks right here on Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN Radio. By the way, if you're interested in my books, there's a book I have out called My New Puppy. It's a coloring book. I think it took me 10 minutes to put together or something, but actually it was harder than you might think because it's just one sentence on a page. Anyway, you can find that and information on Decoding Your Cat on my website, which is stevedale.tv. All heard the expression, I'm sure, that music can soothe the savage beast. Well, true enough, and dogs and cats do respond, cats too, to music, corresponding with the fact that their hearing is much more sensitive than ours, right? So classical music can be calming to dogs and cats. We know that. Here's something really interesting, that dogs apparently like reggae music, giving Marley and me an entirely new meaning, I believe. It appears that elephants, though, and other animals do respond to music. So imagine this, and this was done. You're out, this was done with Asian elephants. You're out in a forest in Asia where you know elephants sometimes go by. And a researcher goes out there and with a truck brings out a piano, puts the piano down and in the middle of this forest and begins to play. And if you play it, they will come. So he begins playing a concerto, and the elephants not only arrive, but they begin to trumpet along. I mean, it's the most amazing video. You could find that in several places on YouTube. So apparently, friends, if an elephant is charging you, pull out your tunes, and maybe that elephant will sing along.